Yeah, let me pray for you first, and then let me hand over. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the work of the Fras and the team, and one-to-one. Thank you for Richard's input in the past and his relentless enthusiasm for this tool. But more than that, for the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Father, that that actually wider the church would rediscover its confidence in your word to do your work and bring people from death to life. And we pray for that ourselves as well, where we perhaps have become a little bit cynical, a little bit jaded, a little bit unbelieving, that you can powerfully bring people out of darkness into your kingdom simply through the gospel. You'd re-convince us that that is true. We pray for our time together now. I pray for Lefras. Thank you for his time. Thank you for all he's put into this. Please help him to engage us and excite us with that whole concept of creating a culture in which we're joyful sharers of your word with others. Please, would that be the outbox of our time together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good. Well, listen. Let's just open with God's word very briefly.
Did you know Murray Anderson when from your time in?
No.
In England, okay.
No, so I was.
John has worked for Murray, and Murray's out there, ex-commissioned guy.
Who oh, brilliant!
The church in Fishhook. So they're planting out of.
Praise the Lord. No, I was in a really sort of wacky charismatic church. It was like going to the Lord. I'm very thankful for them, but it was a bit weird, to be honest. I say I grew up Dutch Reformed, converted charismatic, got grounded in Anglican church, now I'm Baptist, so the next step is glory.
Or Presbyterianism.
John chapter 3. We'll look at just John the Baptist from verse 27. And you know the deal when everyone starts following Jesus and John's disciples are a little bit sort of unsure what's happening here. And John answered in verse 27, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. And this is obviously a very specific word from a very specific prophet at a specific point in time. But I think in the context of John chapter 3, you know, where Jesus, I think Jesus or John the writer says in verse 21, whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. I think within that context, it's a model for us of Christian witness and Christian ministry. And just a few principles there, you know, verse 27, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. Even, you know, John the Baptist, you know, prolific ministry was a gift to him from God. And your ministry, whatever it looks like, is a gift from God. You couldn't have received even one thing if God hadn't given it to you. And the ministry that I do is a gift from God. But just as importantly, what we're trying to envisage our people is that God has that gift to give to them, whatever it looks like for them, with their gifted, you know, their gifts, their character, their opportunities will be different from ours. But there's a gift for them to receive from God. Ministry is a gift. And then, you know, this is why we talk about a joyful Bible sharer, because honestly, most everyday believers that give it a go and discover sort of, you know, that they can share God's word, discover what John is saying here. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. When you see the Lord Jesus addressing your friend through his word, it's a powerful moment, and it's something that causes great joy to the Christian, and especially so if that Christian has been guilt-laden in the past because they felt they haven't been doing a good job, they haven't got all the answers, they haven't got the powerful testimony. They don't feel like they can witness to Christ, but then they're just able to open His Word and to see the Lord speak into their friends' lives, and it causes great joy to see the Lord in action through His Word. And really, then our job as those who minister in any context, but also in the context of reading God's Word with our non-Christian friends, is that Jesus must increase and we must decrease. We need to find a way of pointing to Him and stepping out of the way. And you know, that's not just John the Baptist doing that in John's Gospel. You see Andrew doing that. You see Philip doing that right from the word go. Come and see. We've seen the Messiah. We found the Messiah. We see the Samaritan woman do that. You know, immediately on encountering Jesus, come and see a man who's told me everything I've ever knew. Pointing to Jesus is what we do. So I just wanted to share that. I mean, I'm not gonna share too much in terms of a biblical basis for, you know, evangelistic Bible reading. I think it's as simple as that, really. Just pointing to Jesus. How do we point to Jesus today? You know, John says these things were written so that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We've been given that testimony. That's how we point to Jesus. We need to help people see Jesus in the scriptures. If you want to bash that around, let's ask questions a little bit later. I won't spend too much time on the biblical basis. So now, let me just sort of briefly show you how the product works. So John, have you got the new copies, or are you using it online? What are you using?
No, I've literally got the whole pack, all the packs.
Oh, brilliant. Cool. So you're well aware of how it works. Let me just demo to you guys so that you have an idea of what we're talking about, because it's not a Bible study, so it's a little bit of a different experience. We call it a guided read through. And the way I would do it, so say, for example, you know, I've invited you for a coffee. I would, you know, when I invite someone to read with me, I'd be very specific. You know, I might say something like, you know, I'm a Christian. I'd really, you know, like to show you why I think Jesus is the most important person in the world. Like, have you ever considered it? Have you ever looked at the Bible? I can buy you a coffee. You know, it'll take me half hour to just chat you through 18 sentences that give a really good introduction to what we believe, what I believe. So I wouldn't say, would you like to read the Bible with me? Because they think, how long is that going to take? Yeah. I just keep the bar as low as possible, and then trust that as we do that, as we have that first meeting, the Lord will captivate them, and then we'll go from there. So I'll be very specific. I'll say, I've got these notes. We'll have a coffee, and I'll share with you. So when we meet, I would have a copy. They would have a copy. So it's the same material. So there's no sort of secret leader's notes or anything. It's just something we enjoy together. And the books are available for purchase of 10 of those, but the PDFs are available for free on the website. And feel free to print those out if you prefer. Get the books or you know, through lockdown and when people are not, you know, in your area, you can just share the screen as you would with any other presentation that you might do. So you just put the PDFs up on the screen. So I would give it to my friend and I'd say, why don't you flip open to page 6? And I'd explain, we're just looking at 18 sentences. And the big thing we're going to see is that God has actually come to earth. God has stepped into our experience. And then I just use the notes to really just set the scene a little bit. So what we're going to have here is an eyewitness account from a guy called John. And it's a bit of an overview. In the city, we'd call it an executive summary. It's an overview of his book. So he's introducing the rest of the book, which is his eyewitness account of the life of Jesus. And you might find it a surprising start. We're not going to start with baby Jesus and his famous birth. There's no stable, no angels, no Bethlehem, but rather some massive claims. So don't be surprised if it's new. Don't be surprised if you have some questions. We'll have time to unpack that. So you can see, you know, for the sake of the Bible sharer, the Christian, who may not be confident in, you know, handling God's word, we just give them all the content they need. And you could either, you know, those who are less confident, they share it verbatim, so they literally read it together. You know, for me, I use it as almost as bullet points. You know, I'll just chat and I might point out the fact that I'm sort of roughly following these notes. So you flip around, and then I'd explain to my friend, the words on the left is from the Bible. That's from that book called John's Gospel. That's the important stuff. That's the stuff that's been around for 2,000 years, and you know, those are the words that have transformed my life. So, you know, that's the stuff we really need to pay attention to. And then the notes on the right is just going to help us chat through it and make sure we get what we need from it, and you know, maybe bring in some background information, etc. So then I asked my friend to just read the verses on the left, you know, to themselves initially, because you know, they might not be used to reading the Bible out loud. That's something we're used to doing. You know, and you're in a coffee shop, etc. You don't want to put them on the spot in any way. But just to ask, why don't you, Scott, read those verses for us?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made.
Cool. So then I'll just say to him, well, look, John introduces us to someone called the Word. And you can see that he says twice that the Word was there in the beginning. You see that in verse 1 and in verse 2. So he's saying that this Word, who he's introducing us to, existed before time, before creation, before the beginning. In short, the Word is eternal. Okay, which raises the question, who or what is the Word? Well, the Word is God, it says in verse 1. But the Word is a person. So in verse 2 is described as a he. He is with God in the beginning. So God, according to John, or the Word according to John, is not some sort of blob in the sky or some impersonal force, but a person that we can know. And I love verse 3. He says, the Word who is God in a person made absolutely everything, no exceptions. So he says, makes the statement, through him all things were made, and then he flips it around and says, without him nothing was made that has been made. So already John is saying that we can know our Creator. We're being introduced to our Creator. He made you, he made me, he made everything around us. That's what John is saying. He introduces us to the Word and the one who made us. And then I just ask my friend, is that new to you? Did you know that that's, you know, what Christians believe? And oftentimes they're just getting used to the experience. They've just seen some very big, profound sort of claims. And, you know, they just say no or yes, or, you know, I can remember something from, you know, Catholic school, but like, yeah, or whatever. So typically 9 times out of 10, you're just easing into the experience. But already, you know, you've put that first building block in that says, you know, we're talking about the Creator God. So, unless they've got questions or they, you know, there's too much of a conversation, then I'll just flip around and we'll look at the next bit. So why don't we read, folks, why don't we read that for us? We'll just do another spread, so just get a feel for it.
In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Okay, so what if there's a Word being made everything? What difference does that make to us? Well, as Creator, it says here that in him was life, so he is the source of life. That must at least mean physical life, but we'll see later that John is actually talking about spiritual life, eternal life. And he, the Word, gives us understanding for life, or light. So the life was the light of all mankind. So we talk about enlightenment or a light bulb moment as the moment where we finally understand things. And John is saying that in this dark world, this person, the Word, can give us that enlightenment. He can put the lights on. He can give us the understanding that we need. And in fact, you know, in sentence 5, it says that the darkness in our world can't stop him from bringing that life and light to mankind. And that's really what we've seen in this world. Is for 2,000 years, these same words and this message about the Word has gone out throughout the world unchanged. And there are people impacted by this message around the world, today. So that light of the world continues to shine today. In fact, here we are, thinking about it and reading it. So I'd say, what do you think, any thoughts on that? So I'll just keep it light so that they don't feel obliged to sort of, make observations or whatever. And so you go quite rapidly. So you'll go through one spread at a time, and the rhythm is the same. A few sentences from the Bible, a bit of chat, sentences, chat, sentences, chat. In the latest version, we've got this little progress bar that just helps you sort of keep track. This yellow bar at the bottom keeps track of sort of how far you are in the episode. And then if you get to page 22, so once you're through the 18 sentences, we've got a little bit of a summary, and I might ask them to read through it, or I might just take it through bullet point by bullet point. And you say, well, what have we seen about Jesus, the Word, so far? Well, we saw that he was there before the world existed. He is God. He made everything. He has life in himself and brings light to all people. Those who believe in him become members of God's own family. The Word came to earth as a man. He doesn't bring rules, but grace and truth. And John says that we can know God personally through Jesus Christ. And then there's one big application question right at the end. How does that compare to what you thought about Jesus until today? And so sometimes you get into a great discussion at the end of the episode. Sometimes they don't really want to say much. But when's the last time you had a half-hour conversation where you were able to communicate all of that as clearly as John does? And then you simply say, did you enjoy that? Would you like to look at the next episode? And 9 times out of 10, they go, yeah. And then you say, same time next week or whatever. So that's really the experience. It's very unintimidating and accessible. Once the Christian gets used to it, it's something that anyone can do and enjoy. We do them in little episodes that sort of, your Bible gives you the structure, doesn't it? The Bible text gives you the structure. And we just try and make, create episodes around that. William Taylor was instrumental in helping us sort of shape all of that. So you just chat through it one episode at a time. It's a slow, relational, deep conversation. It's a big time commitment. That's the thing you need to get your head around and be able to commit to. But it really, really serves your friend, it serves your colleague, it serves your non-Christian contact. Because you meet them where they're at and you give them an unintimidating sort of space where they can just engage, explore, ask questions, and just really, for people are biblically ignorant. They do not know this stuff. They do not know it. Like most of the people I read with haven't a foggiest. All they have is their limited experience at church, which is probably, Sunday school at best. In what sort of church, you don't know. Or the nativity sort of play at school, or whatever they've seen on the telly. That is literally all they know about the Bible. So I think Bible studies are great. I was trained at, St. Helens Bishopsgate. I am firmly committed to teaching our people Bible handling skills, and I want people to be able to lead their own Bible studies and all that sort of stuff. But that's not the starting point. This is literally a rapid walkthrough, read through of a gospel in order to build up a picture of the biblical Jesus. And you are trusting as you're doing that, you're trusting that the Lord by his Spirit will convict the one who's reading of their own sin and their own need. I mean, there's so many challenges in John's gospel. You must be born again. You know, the Jesus' own challenge of you know, faith in Jesus as only someone who provides earthly kingdom or earthly provision or whatever. There's all of those false ideas of Jesus gets challenged. And you know, as people get into the gospel, they begin to see what, you know, the claim of Jesus on their life, and that's what you're praying they will respond to. So the distinctives are it's profoundly Bible based. So verse by verse, noses in the text, you're really just sort of going through the Bible. Some of these verses you'll read, you know, three times. So after the summary, there's the full passage as well, either for them to read through while he's sitting there or maybe to take away and read. So by that time, they would have read through, you know, most of the verses three times. So really relying on the Bible. Culturally appropriate because you're meeting a friend where they're at. You're giving them a level playing field. You're not the mentor, the Bible teacher. You're just a friend who's enjoying something together. There's a clear framework for your conversation, so you can't sort of, you know, you can't go offside. Like, they've signed up to read through the Bible together, that's what you're going to do. And within that, there's plenty of scope for challenge, plenty of scope for application. But the Bible sets the pace and the Bible sets the tone. And I'd say just the thing to emphasize in terms of the culture, and we'll talk about the culture in a second, is that just that double heel of actual evangelism happening, but what it does for the Christian in terms of their confidence in God's word as they see the living, active word of God minister to their friends. And I've read with loads of friends who haven't become Christians. I mean, I must have read with, I don't know, 12 to 15 non-Christian guys now, first with colleagues, now people at the school gate or neighbors or people on the margins of church life. And, you know, I've seen three of them come to faith. I've seen others move radically on in their sort of understanding of Christ's, who Christ is and his claim on their lives. Oftentimes, that's the thing that makes them walk away because they begin to see there's a response that's required. But you know, that's gospel ministry. That's the parable of the sower. So you know, as long as you've got that biblical framework, your job is simply to share and then to pray and then to trust, and the Lord will decide who, you know, who he's going to bring to life. But what it's meant for my faith, even in those early days when I was reading with guys who they didn't come to faith. I had one guy in the office come to faith. It was delightful, but it was probably the third or fourth guy I read with. But these other guys, like just seeing all their preconceptions being knocked out by Jesus, seeing them drawn to Jesus, seeing how compelling the gospel is, it, you know, it really transformed my confidence. So that joyful Bible share thing is it. I was speaking to a guy this morning, London City Mission guy, Carl Knightley. He's now reading it. And he was just saying the same thing. He says, it's meant so much for my own faith. He's ministering to a friend of his who's suffering from severe depression over Zoom. He's up in the north of the country somewhere. But he's given him some access point to engage with the scriptures. He wasn't ready to go to church. But he's now into the scriptures and loving the experience, and it's a slow work. So Carl says to me, I didn't know what I was signing up for. I thought it was going to be five or six meetings, and yeah, then we'd be done. But he says it's worth it, and he says it's something that builds his own faith. So it's not a difficult thing. It's a joyful thing, but it is a costly thing in terms of time, energy, etc. So you've got to be willing to serve your friend for as long as they're willing to journey, and then as the word begins to minister to them, you know, we as church leaders need to help the church be ready to bring those people in and give them connection points like the courses and the events, etc., so that they can come into Christian fellowship, and because that's part of the witness, isn't it? But we're going out there to meet them where they are in order to bring them in, or sometimes following up from courses or whatever the case might be.
Many bits are there. to bring it.
So 11 books to get to John's gospel. Yeah. So deliberately, you know, thin so that you know, so that it's unintimidating to the Christian. But it's 42 episodes. Once you get into the rhythm of things, you can easily, you know, knock off a couple of episodes when you meet. So we've known people who've gone through the series in 3 months. We've known, you know, some people take 2 or 3 years depending on the rhythm of meeting. Like it's flourished. It flourishes when you can get into a rhythm, because then there's that steady sort of building up of a vision of who Jesus is. But it's useful. Like even if I just share one episode with someone, I think that's a massively useful thing to do.
And are there particular people that, or groups of people that, in your experience, it works, or even hearing from others, it works particularly well with? Anyway, is there like a demographic or a background that?
Yeah. So it started in the city. So professional. I think the reason why it works there is firstly it's below the radar, so people who care about their reputation can do it sort of incognito almost. But also it's people who are time efficient, so they've got their calendars, so you can just book it in like once a week or whatever. We've seen it work really well on sort of council estates, etc. Again, maybe not as organised, but you know, people have lots of time. They're spending lots of time together anyway. They're coming to sort of coffee shops and all that sort of stuff. So just use the time, just get them into God's will. Mm-hmm. We had a lady, Susan, on a training session last week from John's church. She's just a member of the congregation. And she was just saying how profoundly helpful it's been for, you know, for her frame, also from a very complex addiction background. Unapologetically, every time they meet, get into God's word. Because otherwise, there's all the relational stress of looking after such a person without much gospel witness, and you're always trying to just get something of Jesus in when actually you say, well, this is what we're going to do. Every time you meet, yes, there might be the other stuff as well, but you've got the gospel open. Retirees, again, because they've got time. And we've had wonderful stories of, you know, like old folk just, you know, once the penny drops, they just, you know, they think they're the new Billy Graham and they just like, you know, they just go for it. And it's just glorious to see like 70, 80-year-old people, like really vibrant ministry. And they say things like, this is what I should have been doing all my life. And they just, you know, they're just so happy about it.
Mm.
And, you know, we deliberately try and use the language, use simple language, so people do use it for English second language outreach. We've got other translations as well. I can share that in a minute. But I think in the English context, you almost want to use the English notes because that's the thing that's going to help them. You know, the Hong Kong migrants, the Farsi migrants. We've got churches where this is the go-to resource when a new Farsi speaker comes in. Well, we're going to show you what we're all about. And this is where they start, because it helps them with the English, but it also, more importantly, it helps them with a vision of who Jesus is.
Yes.
So I'd say you need time. That's the and relational connection. That's the thing. Like, it doesn't have to be your best friend. Richard, who wrote the notes, always says, you know, someone that you'd be comfortable having a coffee with. That's the sort of depth of relational connection you need. And then you get going. Like, it's, you know, you need to be ready in your own heart, but don't try and think, you know, plan it out too much. You just take it one step at a time. Do you want to meet? Yes. Boom. Shall we meet next week? Okay, this is becoming a regular thing. And then you've got to start managing your calendar around that.
It's really helpful, isn't it, that it's not. I mean, there's a place for that, but as you say, it's not a Bible study. It's not, let me ask you the question.
Yes.
And suddenly you're put on the spot for, like, you know, either your comprehension skills aren't up to answering this, like, you know, the answer.
Yeah, and it's brand new. You're brand new to the whole.
You sort of just reading it rather than putting people under the spotlight of, like, you must give me the right answer, you know, because that, even that's not what you say to people, that's what people feel, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
They feel like, I don't know the answer to this.
And then you've got to gently sort of correct them. And
yeah.
No, well, actually, it's saying this. And yeah. Then after you've done that 2 or 3 times, becomes a bit awkward, doesn't it? Yeah.
So it's really helpful. It makes me think, yeah, you wouldn't, you know, you don't need to be university educated.
Yeah.
To, you know, to get, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Okay, yeah, that's it. Because it's not a new term, it's not a class, is it?
Yeah, and I didn't use to use these notes when I first started reading with my colleagues. And what I typically would do is I'd spend far too much time on you know, like maybe those 1 to 5 or whatever. And what inevitably what happens then is you're just delivering your sack of sort of Bible knowledge to them, and you know. That's not, you know, and it's too overwhelming. They don't have any framework for that. So you're just going, boop, this is everything I've ever learned on the Trinity. What do you make of that? Where actually, if you just go, can you see that that's what it's saying? Can you see that that's what it's saying? Can you see that that's what it's saying? Here's the big thing we've learned. And you just leave them with that. And yeah, I've just found that quite helpful as well. Just being able to, yeah, chat through the Bible. That's really what you're doing. You're just chatting through it.
It's helpful to have that kind of model that. So I think I got you as sort of maybe adding maybe 1 or 2 extra phrases to those notes as you're going through, but not much more than that. You're really reading that, the blue story.
Yeah.
Maybe chuck in, you know, a little bit to make it your own.
Yeah.
But not expanding on it very much.
Yeah.
And then your questions are basically just, what do you think of that? Or
yeah.
Any thoughts, or is that your experience? Or
that's
the kind of
exactly. Question. So you're a tour guide. You're not a you're like, imagine a trip to the museum, and when you're the expert, you don't say, "So tell me, what do you know about this statue?" Sorry, yes. You say, "Well, have you ever heard of this?"
Mm.
Well, let me tell you a little bit more, and then you move on to the next thing because they probably want to see, you know, get a feel for the whole thing rather than.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're just going, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Do you understand that? Have you seen that? Well, how does that compare to your view? And then, and the conversation does begin to flow, like, you know, once they get into the rhythm of it. But then they choose, you know, and the Bible verses actually bring things to light. And then all of a sudden they go, oh, well, I always thought about it this way. Or I once read a book that said this, or my man told me that. Do you know? And then all of a sudden, but you're engaging them with where they're at, and you can minister into that rather than, So it's just, it's such a helpful experience for them, but it also allows them at the right time to open up to you. And then, you know, like, that's, you know, you can minister more effectively because they're opening up to you rather than sort of,
How much would you be happy generally to run off down a tangent, or how they want to develop the conversation rather than thinking, I want to get through these 18 verses?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I, you know, we're wrestling with that a little bit, because I think a lot of people who get going sort of do get sidetracked, and they, I've just seen Richard model it really well. And I've realized that I need to be a bit more. Richard talks about the train tracks. Just get it on the train tracks and keep it on the train tracks and just let the train chug along. Like, because, you know, when you do that, when you bring them back, like, it's helpful that you've said, this is the experience we're going to go through together. So you do have the basis to say, that's a great question. Shall we just finish the episode and then come back to that or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned to do that a bit more, because if you go off on too many tangents, then, you know, like, say you got a 45-minute conversation, you want half an hour of that to be boom with your noses in the Bible text.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can manage it. I think sometimes you can say, we're going to get there, so it's helpful. Like, if you do know John's gospel, you can say, well, wait till we meet Nicodemus, and then you'll see.
Mm-hmm.
This about sort of religious people, or wait till you see the Samaritan woman, and you'll, you know, or whatever, like suffering, for example, you know, we'll see how, well, from this episode, we can already see the word became church, God wasn't just stay aloof. He stepped into this world. But we're going to see what that looks like as Jesus lives amongst people. And you'll see that, you know, especially at Lazarus's grave. So I try and keep the train on its tracks and just sort of say, that's a great question. You know, maybe chat about 5 minutes about it. If I've got an answer, if I don't have an answer, I'll just say, that's a great question. I haven't really thought about it. I'll find out. And then you go away and you come back. You got to respect the relationship. You got to respect the conversation. But I think because you've agreed to look at this together, you know, it's not a big deal to just say, well, let's think about that afterwards.
Yeah. Done much for Muslims. I'm just interested that I don't know if it's intentionally a bit light. You mentioned Trinity. I didn't know it's intentionally a little bit light on that at the beginning. You talk about that later, chapter 17 or 5 or something. I just wondered whether what your experience
is. Yeah, well, I think what we're doing is we're just following along with John's, you know, when John reveals stuff. So at the beginning, you see the Word was with God and the Word was God. At verse 18, you see that same idea of being introduced as the Son and the Father. Mm-hmm. And what I would typically say to people who ask a question about that is, well, the way to understand the Trinity is to see the Father and the Son in relationship, in action. Mm-hmm. And actually, as you then read through John's Gospel, it becomes a beautifully attractive relationship. Mm-hmm. Rather than some weird abstract concept that I can't get my head around. Mm-hmm. So we don't try and explain sort of theological concepts beyond what the passage introduces. I have read with Muslim colleagues, Muslim friends, a couple that I can think of. When they're open-minded enough to actually look at the scriptures, they do try and sort of twist it a little bit. So the whole, you know, the Word was God. The last guy I read with, you know, wanted to say, you know, the Word was a, you know, a Son of God, like a Son of God. He could accept that, like a Son of God. And I just went back and said, well, actually, can we just have a look again? It says that the Word was with God and the Word was God. I don't think you can change that. I know that that's uncomfortable for you, maybe, for what you believe. But that's what John is saying. That's what I've come to believe. We can't change that. That's what's written. So I think, the open-minded ones will read it. I've only had limited experience. They will try and explain it away. And what he also did was he would latch on to something that was said. So we read with the last guy, I read 10 episodes, I read all the way to John chapter 4. Mm. And he would hear a story that sounds vaguely familiar. You know, like their culture has all these Bible mashups. Mm. It's like a Bible mashup, like Moses, you know, we'll talk about Moses and the Passover, and then he'll be like, I think he was saying about Jesus being born, and then there being, so he was mixing up the Pharaoh story with Herod. I was like, that's fascinating, because actually there is a biblical link there, but it's two totally different stories over separated by thousands of years. So we just, you know, it was difficult to keep him on the train tracks, because he was, you know, he would just pick up Abraham. Oh, yeah, we've got Abraham. And then he'll tell me everything that I know about Abraham. Oh, Moses. Yeah, we got Moses. And then, but that's just, I mean, yeah, we've had people, you know, use it in Muslim context. We're talking to a number of partners who are really keen to sort of translate it for the Middle East. John's Gospel is their go-to resource. You know, I think that's the gospel, and it just brings those issues to bear, but shows, you know, like it shows in action what the Trinity looks like. I just think that's quite powerful. So, you know, you get beyond that whole I've had loads of those types of arguments, like how can God ever stand them? Blah, 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 blah. Like you never get anywhere with that. If they're willing to read the Bible with you, at the very least, they're going to see, well, actually, that's what the Bible does say. Jesus never claimed to be God. Okay, well, let's just look at John chapter 5 and, you know, John chapter 10 and, you know, whatever. Anything else on the experience?
I'm struck by how ambitious it is. And I don't, that's not meant as a criticism at all, but you know, those first 18 verses, you know, yowzers, you know, getting your head around that stuff takes some doing, doesn't it? You know, the number, as I mean, the, you can see from the list, the summary that those are, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Those are 8 lumpy truths to kind of chew on. And so I think, I'm impressed by its ambition. And I think it's, but it seems to do it by moving through it quickly. So that you don't get bogged down, which is helpful. So I've never used this. So that's worth confessing.
That's fine, man.
So that's interesting, just to see that. And I think, I've never embraced this, I think, because I've assumed wrongly, I think, that it would be weird to read something together. Do you know what I mean? So the kind of thing, for me to provide the commentary.
Yeah.
But it's interesting just watching you do that removed the mystique and made me realise it's not actually weird. But I'm guessing what you might get the first time you do it is sort of, what do you make of that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, let's move on. Yeah. Whereas if they come back for the third time, it's like, hang on a second.
Yeah.
What about? And that's fruitful.
Yeah.
Your museum illustration I quite like. I like that. Because I think the one-to-one Bible study where I ask a question, and you have to guess what the answer in my head, the answer in the text, I'm testing you either your background knowledge, your comprehension, or whatever, that's just unhealthy. The thing I've really liked is, and I've done it mainly with Christians rather than non-Christians, is the kind of light bulb, question mark, arrow.
Yeah. I've done that with a youth group, yeah.
I love that because it's not, what did you get? You know, and then, right, let's riff off that for a while and try to get to the bottom of it. This is kind of, it is a set text, but it's light enough to be able to provide an opportunity for someone to say, "Why don't I get that? What does that mean by that?"
Yeah.
Those are just observations from you.
No, that's really helpful. I think they call it the Swedish method. I don't know why. But I've used that with the youth. It's really helpful. I think. Yeah, like you would be able to do that, and I think the people you do it with might be comfortable. I think, you know, if you look at, if I want 10-20% of my congregation to be able to share God's word, I think about the individuals, and I'm thinking, I don't think I'll ever give them the confidence to just be able to open the Bible and say,
yeah,
what did you get out of that? Yeah. In a question, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas this gives them more of a framework. So I think this is one step before that for the Christian. And I think we'll get to that in a moment in terms of the culture, but I think the benefit of the church leader using this is just quite simply to say, I'm reading the word one-to-one with this guy, this is how it's going. You know what I mean? So if you, here's a resource, but I don't really use it. Like, that's just never going to work. So you do need to model.
Yeah, I do my special Bible studies.
Yeah, exactly.
That is great for blindfolds.
But yeah, on the John 1:1-18 thing, it is big and it is aspirational, and I think that's what makes it so powerful. Is people cannot walk away from that having understood it. Not understood every detail of every claim. It is an overview. It's an executive summary. John is saying, this is what I'm going to talk to you about in the rest of 21 chapters. So really, what you you know, what happens in experience, and this wasn't our cleverness, this was just, you know, God gave this ministry to Richard just through an event that happened in his life where Professor John Lennox, who's his friend, Richard is a senior city executive and a gospel patron, so he's known John Lennox for ages. He had a dinner with a friend of his, and he asked him whether John can explain some stuff from the Bible. He printed out John 1:1-18 on a piece of paper, and that's what they looked at, and Richard was sitting there going, that's the sort of conversation I want to be having with my city contact, because they had their noses down. And when we asked John, why did you choose that passage, John Lennox, he said, because it gives a big enough framework for the gospel right from the word go. In the beginning, it goes right back to creation in the very first few words. So there's no way the reader can say this is not for me. In terms of, yes, they can say I don't want to read this, but they can't say it's not relevant, because boom, like from the beginning, this was God. He stepped in and he's offering anyone who believes a place in God's family. That's what it's saying. So it must be. So I think it's. So I hear what you're saying, folks, and I think it does leave, you know, the people who get it the most look a little bit like a rabbit in the headlights after the first session, because they go, oh, this is actually quite big, and it's profound, and it's relevant, and they didn't think any of those things about the Christian faith. They thought they're just being kind to you and saying, yeah, right, I'll have a coffee because I like you. And then they can just sort of say, you know, thanks, but that's not for me. But then they go, well, this is really different from what I thought. So it's almost just like, you know, you're exploding, you know, a little bit of their worldview in order to say to them, don't you think this is worth looking at?
I like the new format. The old one I thought was dated and difficult to follow. This is really
a little bit. Yeah, we
this
got
is
that.
Really easy to follow.
Yeah, we got that feedback from some people. Absolutely loved it, like with any product. So we had a little bit of a battle there, but yeah.